Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
All righty, welcome everybody. It is 6 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us as we begin a new week of broadcasting here on Political Coffee, a show that aims to talk about the political issues of the day right here in both Oregon and, well, even the country and maybe even the world. We talk about them from a perspective of how you can use them to influence your world, to make a difference for your principles and your values. That's our goal here on Political Coffee. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or if you send me an email to jeff@1220.am, and we'll do my darndest to read it on the air. So here's what's on the plate for today. When is it appropriate for you to just walk away? Now, I'll explain what that means because, frankly, it deeply impacted my life personally. The story of Andrew Luck leaving professional football. When is it appropriate to walk away, even though you know that it's going to create problems on the other side for people you love and you care about? When is it appropriate? Also, speaking of walking away, don't you just love it when people try to change the rules in the middle of the game? Now, is that a message that everybody just sort of gets? Or is there messaging that would allow the Democrats to be able to be successful in convincing voters to change Oregon's constitution to allow them to take away the protections of the minority? And then finally, isn't it really ironic that Ellen Rosenblum is in front of the U.S. Supreme Court arguing that they should not, in a Louisiana case, Oregon being one of two states that allows non-unanimous jury verdicts, that they should not rule in favor of this Louisiana case that is basically about non-unanimous juries. They shouldn't rule in favor of it because if they did, then Oregon would have hundreds. It would throw our entire justice system into chaos. Isn't it interesting? In fact, isn't it maybe a little bit hypocritical that Ellen Rosenblum is arguing that in front of the U.S. Supreme Court when she's arguing or in essence being completely silent on the same kind of an issue having to do with Oregon's death penalty when it comes to expressing any kind of an opinion, especially about having a special session to deal with that word we all have come to love? And it's in both news stories, called retroactivity. Retroactive. Because that's the whole point of what she's arguing. I mean, she's talking out of both sides of her mouth, folks. So, do you expect that somebody in the news media might figure that out and might call her to account of that? Certainly we have, and if I have in my lightning quick mind, if I can figure that out, certainly other people would be too, wouldn't they? Shouldn't somebody in the news media in Oregon say, wait a minute here, Rosenblum, you're saying that it's bad, that it would create all these retroactive, would throw our situations in Oregon, would throw our entire justice system into chaos? If the U.S. Supreme Court rules that non-unanimous jury verdicts are unconstitutional, and at the same time, you're completely silent on the retroactivity of the same kind of thing based on this new law passed by the legislature that's been so controversial. Which, by the way, is the subject of an Oregonian editorial. And you got to love this, because even though it's meant to hit Kate Brown, this is in the Oregonian, and again, as I said, is the editorial board. It says, Brown's foot dragging on the death penalty special session dismisses the concerns of victims. Oregonians. Now, what Kate is doing is basically running out the clock. So she'll, because she has to call a special session before this thing goes into effect to change it. Now, she could, it's easier to do it this way. I mean, it's easier to call a special session and fix it before it goes into law. I mean, you can still do it afterwards, but it's a lot harder. So we're going to get into all of that today, friends, because it's important. And it's important because how do you fix this issue? Not with a special session, the law. We know the flaw of the law. As this Oregonian editorial board has determined here, that everybody on both sides knows that this thing is retroactive. Okay, so what do we do about it now? Well, the only way you're going to force Kate and the ruling retro-Bolsheviks, as Ron calls them, the only way you're going to fix that is really to do what the Oregonian here is, in a backhanded way, without even knowing it, is suggesting the right way that you talk about this, the right way that you present this. And this is, again, the purpose of this radio show. And you know what it is? It's to talk about how this creates a system that doesn't hold people accountable, because it doesn't center on justice for the victims. Now, that's, again, folks, I tell you this time and time again, not just from a perspective of being a political consultant, but from the perspective of I have been a part of a family that has been the recipient of victims not getting justice. Let's put it that way. And without going into a whole lot of it, I've experienced this personally. My whole family has. And I will tell you that this is not a good thing. And it leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. And if you're out there and you're listening to my voice right now and you have been a part of something like this, either with a friend or with certainly people in your family, and some awful thing happened, death, and nobody was held accountable for it, it leaves a very bitter taste in your mouth. And I'll tell you that that's how this issue could be, how it could be framed and create a powerful feeling out there amongst people. Remember, we don't think so much anymore about our politics. We just feel our politics. And we do that because, well, social media has allowed that to happen, but also because we have a news media that doesn't like to hold the ruling Democrats accountable. Although I have to say that it's gotten a little bit better, because the newspaper business is pretty sad these days, and they've had to actually try to be something more than just the mouthpiece of the Democrats. Not so with the Washington Post, of course, and not so with the New York Times. But clearly the Oregonian and even the Eugene Register Guard has had to do this, because they've not been able to get past the fact that the Internet has created the opportunity to go around them as the news makers and, frankly, as the opinion makers. Editorial boards are not nearly as powerful as they once were, but yet they still can be used by us, those of us on the right, who believe in certain principles and values. We can still use them to add credibility to our arguments that whatever policy decision is bad. In this case, this whole business about going around Oregon's constitutional, the death penalty, because that's what's going on here. Whether it's, I mean, Newt refused to use this issue against Kate. And I have to tell you, John Hickenlooper is the just recently, you know, he was running for president. He's the governor of Colorado. He barely won re-election because of he suspended the death penalty in Colorado. It was an issue that was used very effectively against him because it's emotional. When you do that, you don't allow justice for the victims and their families. Same thing has happened here. Newt refused to use that issue here against Kate because she followed right on behind John Kitzhaber. You know that. And so when you allow this bill to take place and Kate is silenced, a little bit of public shaming is very much in order here. Now, some of it has happened on the in social media and on the internet, but the Oregonian editorial board is pointing the way to this issue, folks, because their headline hits on the central way that you can use this issue to influence other people. How is this justice for the victims of the families, or the families that of the victims, rather, say that right? How is this justice? It isn't. And how is it that Ellen Rosenblum can be out there arguing in front of the U.S. Supreme Court to not allow a ruling that would create non-unanimous juries because of the chaos, because of all of the damage it's going to do in, once again, all these cases are going to come back up? Because I'll guarantee you, as this happened right here with this issue of the death penalty in Oregon, that's all. There's a Washington County case that's already in court over this thing, trying to overturn it. Jennifer Williams says, it's not a big deal. This is not what we wanted. Yes, it is. It's exactly what you wanted. I'm telling you, folks, if we on our side, using the lead of the editorial boards, can talk about this person to person, about how this is not right. Because when you reopen all of these cases on non-unanimous jury verdicts, you're going to dredge up all the pain that these families experience, the families of the victims, right with the death penalty. Same deal. It's going to happen all over again, and they don't get any justice. How is that right? You have to hold people accountable at the most basic levels. You know this. You do it with your children when you're rearing them up. Society demands it. Our laws create some level of accountability, although, of course, we have a two-tier justice system, unfortunately. And the Democrats protect that. And that's what they're protecting in Oregon with the death penalty issue. Kate is really getting hammered by this editorial about foot dragging, because it doesn't provide justice for the victims. That's how you need to talk about it, folks. That's the emotional way, but it's also the real way. If you've ever been damaged in this way, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's something that you can use to influence other people's thinking, to be persuasive on this issue. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Good GMC talk line. You think that's the right way to approach this, or do you have a better way of approaching it? I would love to get your perspective. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. It is 620. Be right back, so don't.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Yeah, if you're starting your car and you're heading out to work today, this is 22 minutes past the 6 o'clock time frame. Here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the editorial here in the Oregonian about hitting Kate Brown, but also hits, well, Ellen Rosenblum, and in a backhanded way, without intending to do so, they actually point out Ellen Rosenblum's hypocrisy. But aside from that, here's the way to talk about this, that you can make an influence in other people's lives. Maybe those persuadable people, right? Those are the people that you can change. You can influence their opinion. Listen to this part of the editorial, because it boils down to the victims. All of this, if you're going to get to people's hearts on these political issues that really impact people's lives, you've got to do it in an emotional level. You got to get to their heart, because people don't think with their brains anymore, as evidenced by what we see on social media. Listen to this part. This really, again, the editorial board is showing the way, and they don't even know it, showing the way that we can use this to stand up for our rights and, frankly, for good policy. Listen to this. Here's what they write. Brown's lack of urgency is not only disappointing, it's dismissive of the anguish that victims' families are going through as they wait to hear whether the law will affect the cases against their loved ones' suspected killers. Now, I'm going to read that to you again. Listen to this. Brown's lack of urgency is not only disappointing, it's dismissive of the anguish that victims' families are going through as they wait to hear whether the law will affect the cases against their loved ones' suspected killers. Now, just stop for a moment here. A couple of things. It's, why would anybody be dismissive of the anguish that victims' families are going through? Why would, what is, again, Tate's character, right? That's what this boils down to, isn't it? What do you have to do to be accused of being dismissive of the anguish of somebody whose child or mother or father was murdered, and sometimes horribly? Now, how bad is it when the liberal Oregonian editorial board calls Kate Brown's foot dragging here on whether to call a special session to fix this? What does it tell you about her character, and that it's being acknowledged by the editorial board? It's dismissive of personal anguish. 503-589-1220. Do you think this is an effective way, using the argument that the editorial board is making without them even realizing it, but using it in conversations with other people to move their thinking on this issue? Because what you can follow up with and say is, imagine if this was you, if you were the victim, if your daughter, your son, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister had been murdered, and now you don't know whether this new law is going to allow you to have to be drugged through all of the emotional anguish again. Because this law allows for it to be retroactive. Now, it's one thing to talk about Kate. It's quite another, and for anybody who's thinking about running against Ellen, or not Ellen Rosenblum, she's done, folks. But against Jennifer Williamson. Jennifer Williamson is the legislator in the House, was the majority leader. She championed this issue. She's a lawyer, and she's going to run for Oregon Attorney General. Okay? Do you think that this would be an emotional way of defeating her for Attorney General, and actually getting an Attorney General who respects the Constitution, respects the will of the voters, respects justice? Because this isn't justice. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. By the way, I want to remind you, this segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down in South Commercial, right next to Safeway. CBD oil products have great, great health benefits, folks, for a lot of people. And they have for me personally, for members of my family and people that I do business with. You know what? Maybe you ought to go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care, because I bet you They've got products that could be helpful to you. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial. Now, there's another issue. How do you like it when somebody changes the rules of the game? Democrats are proposing a constitutional amendment that we, the voters, have to pass that would no longer protect the rights of the minority, even the political minority. Let's go to the phones. We'll talk to Ron. Ron, good morning. How are you, brother?
How you doing?
Hey, Ron.
I'm right here. How you doing?
Good, man. You got 45 seconds. Go for it.
All right. Number one, I think that Williamson tried to run. You know who I like to see come out because they threw him under the bus on the Republican side? I like to see Vance Day come out and kick her butt. I think that'd be support. I am tired of weakness, a backbone, and no cowardice. They purposely did this. They knew it. Przanski and them knew exactly what the hell they was doing. And they did it because they knew it's going to upset everybody because they wanted to keep less people in jail and just find a way to reduce them people in prison. So we have more recidivism. Facts and truth, look at the crimes. Look at the justice they're doing. Look what they're doing with the legal aid in sanctuary cities. That's enough.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and again, that's the emotional way of presenting the issue that gets to people, gets to enough voters that we don't pass this nonsense. The idea that any of this, any of it, Ron, would be allowed by the voters is beyond comprehension. But the only way in Oregon and the only way in our culture today that you can convince people, Ron, you're so right. You've got to emotionalize this stuff. Thanks, brother. Be safe out there today. It's 6:30. Back in a moment. Don't go away. A lot more to come and your phone calls and emails.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. Great to have you with us on a Monday as we begin a new broadcast week. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Rebecca, hang on. I want to get to you in just a moment. Folks, if you're just joining us, here's what we're talking about. Is it appropriate sometimes to just walk away from something because you've lost your love for it or it's negatively impacting your life, even though it's important and even though you're going to let some people down? In the Oregon, Democrats and the legislature have decided they're going to ask the voters to change the Constitution to no longer allow the rights of the political minority to be protected. And Kate Brown gets hit by the Oregonian editorial board for her foot dragging on this special session to deal with the incredible damage done to the families of those victims of these heinous murderers that are on death row in Oregon. Oh, this is what we're talking about and how you can use these issues of the day to persuade people in your circle of influence to begin thinking about them in a deeper way. And we emotionalize them all, folks, every one of them, because that's how you get to people. You got to get to their hearts. In their minds. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Let's go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, good morning. What do you think today?
Good morning. This subject about denying the rights of those who have had people killed in their families, it reminds me of how I never even knew the death rate in Chicago until I started listening to conservative radio TikTok people who told me that there's such a high death rate in Democrat-run cities, but the Democrat media never talks about it, which leads me to believe that it's by design. And that leads me to my knowledge of Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist, and she had what she called the Negro Project, kind of like Hitler's final solution for the Jews. And her Negro Project, as far as I can tell, is being implemented by the Democrats today, and they have no pity on those who get, they refuse to even talk about the people who are killed in the black community in Democrat-run cities. They make such a, they politically use the death of some people, and they ignore the deaths of other people. And all the suffering that's going on in the black community, I believe, is by design. Margaret Sanger called it the Negro Project. And
so
there's a book that
point.
I own called Third Time Around, which quotes Malthus, who was the originator of the, he's the one who first published about eugenics and the need to kill people. If you have people who have killed somebody, and it's the somebody that you wanted killed, why would you want them to be executed? You would want to protect them. But then they want to execute people that they don't want. So it's their justice system based on their worldview of eugenics. And I just was reading something about that Malthus wrote. This is just a side issue. But one of the things he calls for is narrow streets, so that people will be inconvenienced. Because eugenicists want people dead, and so they want to have traffic accidents. And my mom is living on Gleason, and they just made Gleason from a four-way into a two-way, and she says it's wall-to-wall traffic all day long. So there's Malthus for you in action here in Portland, Oregon.
It's liberalism in action. Thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate your perspective. You know, I have to say that I think that if the pro-life community really focused on that issue, and I'm talking about how abortion kills more black babies than anything else. Thanks, Rebecca. I appreciate you calling in. Got to let you go. So the reality is that that could be a powerfully emotional, I mean, all this business about racism, right? So again, in your conversations with people, the people you are around every day, when these issues come up, talk about them in that way. Did you know, I mean, you could say, did you know that the greatest killer of black babies in America is abortion? What? That would be the reaction, right? Because nobody knows that. The pro-life community is not talking about it at a level that they could. But I'm talking about Margaret Sanger. Did you know that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider, baby killer, if you will. If you use the word baby killer, you probably put up walls. But you say, you know, did you know that Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in America, started by a woman who was a racist, who believed that black babies needed to be killed? A eugenicist? Just like, I mean, you know, there's been other people that have been that way too, like Hitler. You know, this is how you get people to start thinking about these things. You know what? If we're going to change Oregon, folks, and believe me, Oregon is circling the drain, folks. It really is. I mean, I hate to say this. This, you know, I'm a fifth generation farmer. This is the, I'm tied to the land. I ain't going anywhere. I got to stick it out. Some of you can leave, and some of my friends have left, but I can't. I got to stand and fight. So the best way for me to stand and fight is to help people get elected, to help defeat bad ideas by talking about them and asking interesting questions, which is the purpose of the show, in an emotional way, in a deeply impactful in your heart way, so that we can move those people who are persuadable. And I'm telling you, there are plenty of people in Oregon that are persuadable. They're there. This is not as blue a state as everybody thinks it is. It is a purple state. And one of the ways we could do that is using the language of the Oregonian editorial board here to talk about victims. How is this justice? And Kate Brown being dismissive of the anguish that families are going to go through as they wait to hear whether this new law of Jennifer Williamson, Democrat running for the Attorney General, how it's going to drag them right back through all of the anguish. And having gone through this personally, folks, and I have, it's awful. And you know what? You could use that against Jennifer Williamson. Any Republican with half a brain who runs against the Jennifer Williamson for the Attorney General needs to be pounding that home. And you know what? You do that with enough persuadable women in the Portland metro area and Lane County and Salem and Bend, you defeat her. That's what you do. And you put in Oregon in place an Oregon Attorney General who's going to stand up for the rule of law, not just the political agenda behind the rule of law. Not like Ellen Rosenblum being the hypocrite that she is in front of the U.S. Supreme Court arguing, no, don't throw Oregon's court system into chaos by saying that non-unanimous juries are unconstitutional, because they'll be retroactive. We'll have to go back to hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of cases. And frankly, she's right. But unfortunately, she's talking out of both sides of her mouth. Because as this same Oregonian editorial hitting Kate Brown about foot dragging that hurts victims' families on the retroactivity of the death penalty law, it points out that Ellen Rosenblum is strangely silent on retroactivity, but she's not silent on retroactivity when it applies to these non-unanimous jury verdicts. Folks, she's a hypocrite. And that's how you can say this to people if the conversation comes up. Non-unanimous juries. It sounds right. Sounds good. Oregon is the only one of two states that allows or actually prescribes you have to have a unanimous jury verdict. Rather, non-unanimous. I misspoke there. It's non-unanimous. We're only one in two states. And if somebody buys the liberal line, you can say, but this is kind of hypocritical. The Oregon attorney, and you shift focus away. Now, let's talk a little bit about changing the rules in the middle of the game. Nobody likes that. It's not fair. Democrats are arguing, as they put out their press release, that they're going to protect Oregon's democracy and Oregon's constitution by asking Oregon voters in the 2020, they're going to send out a legislative referral, that's what they're saying, in the short session in February of 2020, to be voted on by the people in November of 2020, to change Oregon's constitution, to say now it's just a simple majority to be able to show up and do business. Now, they're saying this protects the Constitution. I think, and what do you think, is it an effective comeback to say, no, this protects the rights of the minority over the tyranny of the majority? Do you think that that could be something successfully used to move people on this issue? Or maybe, should Oregon Senate Republicans just not show up for the February session to begin with at all? They couldn't pass that. 648, back in a moment.
Stop the car. We gotta move.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We're back, friends. Sorry about that. Sometimes I am a fumble fingers when it comes to doing the right things with pushing buttons. Last segment for today. It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I got a great email to read and another phone call to take. I'm going to do that right after I remind you that, you know, if you don't plan for the future, sometimes things happen in your life and, well, the impact is not good for the future of the people you care about. If you don't plan for the eventuality of, you know, if an accident happens and you die, well, what happens to your family? Do they get to stay in your home? All the plans you and your spouse have made for your kids? No, it just doesn't happen. So you need life insurance. Nobody better to talk to than my friend Fred Thompson, a guy who believes in the values and the principles you believe in. He's a New York life insurance agent. They have great products. So why don't you give him a call? 503-428-7479. Plan for the future. Believe me, it's the smart thing to do. Plan for the future. 503-428-7479. Dwight wrote me an email, and the sales tax on new cars. He says, Jeff, I was unaware of a new car sales tax until I recently talked to an old friend who's in the car business. I thought he was kidding. However, it is not called a sales tax, but evidently it's called a privilege tax. Attaches an article from the Oregonian that gives a better explanation. Oregon's 0.5% privilege tax, it's a sales tax, folks, on new car sales goes to subsidize the purchase of electric vehicles at $2,500 per electric vehicle, regardless if you believe in electric cars or not. Where did the free market go? By the way, at this point, the free market says no. This is another tax from Kate Brown's arsenal designed to override the will of the people. Yeah, you know, I was aware of that. The sad part about this is that the new car dealers sued on this and they lost. Which you would expect, given. Friends, I'm telling you, one of the things we have to do in the future is we have to start electing some constitutional conservatives to serve on our courts in Oregon. Because otherwise, this bunch, they're just a bunch of liberals. Look at what they did to Kevin Mannix the other day in it's the ballot title for a particular initiative that he's out there pushing. On redistricting. And they just went completely off the rails on this thing. And I bet you if they pull that ballot title, it doesn't pass. And it's just dumb. It's dumb that we allow most of these judges to get appointed, because that's the scam, right? We've talked about it before. Democrat governors, through the back channels, they talk to the staff or they talk to the Democrat Supreme Court or Appeals Court member, and they're thinking of retiring. And so they retire, and then the Democrat governor gets to appoint a replacement, and they make sure that they appoint a replacement who is like-minded. In other words, a liberal. And that's what you get. Well, we got to start taking some of these judges out. And you know what? They're actually pretty easy to take out because these are people who don't know how to campaign because they've never had to. It's going to be fun. To do this, but it's necessary because it's the only way we're going to be able to get justice and good policy when you go to the courts on all these things. Let's go to the phones. Go to Art. Art, good morning, brother. What do you have to say?
Hi, Jeff. I hope you had a great weekend. Well, the first thing I want to say is quite interesting that the Democrats say they care about minorities and stuff, but only if you're not a conservative or a Republican. And then They don't want to allow them the right to free speech by avoiding passing bad legislation and stuff. It is definitely so hypocritical. And Jeff, wouldn't it be nice if our government was, especially our governor, would speak out about these radicals who kill Christians on a regular basis, just execute them. If she would, speak up for those people as much as she seems to care about people that murder Oregonians. Anyways, the hypocrisy is just horrible, Jeff. And, whatever is in the wind, they don't care about any of our rights, just their agendas. And if we don't get rid of those bad-thinking people, we're going to continue to go down the toilet, that's for sure.
Well, but the only way we're going to get rid of those people through the electoral process in this state is we're going to have to learn how to emotionalize these issues, do a lot of prayer, and each one of us influence the persuadable people by talking in a persuadable manner to move one person at a time. It's the only way, Art, and you got to emotionalize these issues. You're right on the money. Art, thanks so much for making it a great day. I appreciate it. When is it appropriate to walk away, folks? You know, Andrew Luck, quarterback for 7 years in the NFL, after beginning the season playing preseason games, just hung it up yesterday. Said, I'm done. And he did it because the damage to his personal life and his, I mean, he's married now. He's going to be a father soon. I mean, all of that kind of changes your perspective in life, to be sure. But the game wasn't fun for him anymore, partially because he got hurt and he had to go through rehab. But I think there's something else going on there, to be honest with you. And I think it was an incredible duty to family. And he put out a tweet to his mother talking about hanging up his sidearm and coming home to help her on the farm. I think something else is going on there in the family background that really nobody else is talking about. I think that particular tweet said it all. But it was difficult for him because he knew he was letting people down on his team and in the city that he loved. But he did it for the right reasons, because there's something greater. You see, all the years that he would continue to play and the name ID and the accolades and all of those things are all about him personally. Whereas this point, he chose to hang it up, to go home, to be about family. And that's always the right decision, don't you think? I do. Be blessed out there today, my friends. Pray for this great state. Pray for our leaders. Be committed to continue to fight. Every day we'll be here, and I hope that you will be too. See you tomorrow. Make it a great day.